Ah, damn. I used my good Dave has been dead for 2 years opening in the last one, in the other one. That would have been more appropriate for psychological horror. What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and here, unfortunately, alive and well is Broke Rider Dave, because
How we doing, everybody?
he died in my intro the last couple of times ago, but he's alive and well here.
Live and well, yes. And it is round five of our verses.
I honestly think that you let me win the last two, to give the show a little more like, well, we can't have him win like by the third one.
I wouldn't say that because, well, just a little versus recap. Round one and two, I won. Was Event Horizon versus Slither, and then you round two, you picked Henry Portrait of Serial Killer versus
You're next.
You're Next.
Then you kicked yourself in the nuts by choosing Speak No Evil.
I chose Speak No Evil, which I've heard great things about. Evidently, those people don't know what they're talking about because that movie is awful. And what you choose to beat it?
Oh, what did I choose to beat it? Oh, that was Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder beats See No Evil.
Which, to be fair, Jacob's Ladder was kind of like a okay movie for us, but it was enough to beat out See No Evil or
Chris
Speak No
lucked
Evil.
out because I took a chance on a movie I heard great things about. And then round four, we went four and where Chris chose Ringu and I chose La La Land from Thailand. And that was actually really close.
If the last 20 minutes, if the last 20 minutes of La La Land was the whole movie, I would have given it to La La Land.
Because they showed they could do some really interesting things in that last 20-minute sequence.
That you just sit there and wish that it was
Wish it
the
was
whole movie did
more,
that.
included in the first, hour 40 of it.
But this brings us down to our tiebreaker match. And honestly, I think this one I had the hardest time grading for a
Because
couple of reasons. Yeah.
we did do found footage, but these are two completely different found footages.
One of them, so I gave you Cloverfield to review. Or not review, but Cloverfield was,
Your choice was Cloverfield. Mine was Poughkeepsie Tapes.
which one of them, I will say, Cloverfield is more of what I think of in found footage, and Poughkeepsie Tapes is what I would say more is a mockumentary. But I would put them both in the same kind of category of types of movie they are. So
See,
two very.
Cloverfield for me is more of like bougie found footage.
But it
Just,
is, to me, like the
it is
definition
found
of found
footage,
footage.
but it's found footage with a budget.
Yes.
Because most found footage horror movies really don't get the budget that Cloverfield gets, so.
That's why it was hard grading this. But who do you want to go first? I gave you Cloverfield, and this is my first time watching the Poughkeepsie tapes. You want to go with kick it off with Poughkeepsie tapes and talk about it real quick?
Let's talk about the Poughkeepsie tapes.
All right, so if you don't mind me taking the lead on this one, because this was my first time watching the Poughkeepsie tapes. So this one is the mockumentary one I was talking about, and this is the one with the lower budget. Low budget, to put it in perspective, I tried to find what the budget was on this thing, and it wasn't listed, but the DVD rentals only got up to like 100 and something thousand dollars.
This is definitely more of a cult found footage.
And I gave Dave, you gave me this. I think part of the reason why is because it was another dig at my Lake Mungo recommendation, because you said it was a boring version of the Poughkeepsie tapes.
I felt like, it was, they're similarly formatted.
Yes, they have
Like
a
Lake
similar
Mungo,
format.
this is the American version of Lake Mungo, which is an Australian film. I'm
Oh, and
pretty
I
sure that the budget was only
wasn't a lot.
450,000, but that's also on Reddit, so.
I was gonna say they didn't even make their money back. Not really. But so I went ahead and put this. I'm grading this kind of stuff with a few caveats when it comes to found footage, because found footage is a kind of a weird thing to grade. So I said, all right. So I'm asking a couple of questions. Could the story have been better told as a regular movie? And how often do they use the shaking cam? So I'm going into both of those like with that eye. So Poughkeepsie tapes, started watching it, and classic setup. It's a murder mystery, a serial killer on the loose, and the video recordings of the footage of all of his heinous acts. And that's essentially what this whole movie is it's told like a sensationalized true crime story or
Almost
something.
like a something you'd see on like Dateline late night.
Yes, and this also was supposed to take place in the 90s, which makes sense.
90s to early 2000s.
Yeah, so I forgive the fuzziness of the footage because a lot of this stuff is... I tried to think of a bad found footage movie so that I could have a bar. Like, my new high standard is Hell House 1, yeah. And I'm trying to think of what on the opposite end would be. So I just needed to see where it would rank somewhere in the middle, or if it would be better than Hell House.
A lot of like the killer's footage is filmed with a video home recorder that you'd have in the 90s.
Yes.
So it has that kind of like filter type.
That filter, but there were some filters that I thought was weird that they put on it. That was just in addition to like the fuzzy staticky of it. There were some other filters that was a little weird. But anyway, to the story, we're basically it's like, think Dateline, or like you said, some kind of sensationalized true crime mystery. That's all of the, you know, like the Ted Bundy tapes or the Gacy tapes, whatever. So a lot of these scenes are recovered footage. First one being you see this little girl, this guy. Oh, it's all first person, by the way. Like when we see the tapes, it's the murderer holding the camera. He made like 2,000 plus tapes.
Yeah, like a room full of tapes.
And we see him talk to a little girl, and then he basically bludgeons her, chloroforms her, and then steals her away. We find out later that he like raped him. This guy is very sadistic, which I think also doesn't...
supposed to be like the first victim.
Yes, he is his very first victim, and she gets kidnapped, raped, and then the body dismembered.
Found in the woods a couple miles away from her house.
Do you remember the message that I sent you?
Yeah.
I'll get to that in a minute, but... So that's one of the... we're seeing increments of his time, as well as references to this woman named Cheryl. Cheryl, in which the vast majority of the tapes that is later found of the killer, the vast majority are about her, we find out later.
Yeah, she's one of his victims that he...
hasn't gotten yet.
Yeah, he just takes her and...
keeps her. The next bit of footage we see is a couple who... Good Samaritans, yeah, sure. Hitchhiker guy who's apparently carrying a hammer coming in the backseat. And we basically see him. This guy ain't really that smart. He's giving off clues that he ain't right.
Yeah.
Like he's like, yeah, I'm not from around here. Yeah, can you just come over here? There should be a gas station right up the road.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I thought you weren't even from around here. Like, and then they go down the road and it's like an empty. There's like a 200-mile stretch of road that's just mostly wooded area. Where all these murders are taking place.
Yeah, I just put it on the tape that people weren't on guard as we were back in the early 90s as we are today, but...
Fair. That's fair.
So, yeah.
You know, whack, whack, hammer both to the head. Find out what happened to them. I'll go into the stuff, because the stuff that he does with the bodies is very gruesome, but you don't see it, which is also good, because a lot of it involves kids. So I am happy that they at least... You don't really see a whole lot in this movie, but it is very much filmed like a snuff video, much the recovered tapes, which I think was a very wise choice. Plus, it was also a good way to get around the low budget.
I love how the FBI officer who had to watch all the tapes, he's like, yeah, I've seen some things. And then my wife watched some of these tapes and then she left.
And then she wouldn't let me touch her for over a year.
Yeah.
Which they keep... it also kind of works to its detriment that they... He did all of these horrible things. We're not going to show you. It's too graphic. But trust me, he did some bad stuff. Like the couple.
Yeah.
What he did with the couple is that he killed the man, drugged the woman, chopped the dude's head off, opened up the woman, put the guy's head in her stomach and sewed her back up.
Yeah.
And then woke her up and filmed her reaction.
Yeah.
Which, all right, that sounds very awful. Yeah. And, but, so at this point, I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right. What kind of surgeon is this guy who can surgically open up a person, put a full-grown head inside a person, and sew them back up, and the person's still alive?
Right.
But whatever. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Nobody asks how Hannibal Lecter, like, slices and dices his face, so whatever. Yeah, this is one thing I will say, complaint-wise. When they cut back to a lot of previous footage or pictures from, like, the crime scene, they keep using that static...
Yeah.
Which is louder than the actual audio, and it's very jarring.
Was it louder for you?
It was very loud for me. I was watching it, and then all of a sudden it goes, it's like, yes, and then the body was found over there, and then it goes, and it shows a picture. I was like, Jesus, this is so loud for.
And, my audio, it wasn't that loud.
Right, it was distracting to me. Yeah. But that's a nitpick. That's just whatever. All right, scrolling. Okay, now we meet Cheryl. Cheryl's another tape, and the one who like 1,000+ tapes are dedicated to. She story with her is she was going to be alone for the weekend with her boyfriend. So you know what that means? Naughty time. That means, you know, while the parents are away. At this point, this guy has upgraded. Now he has a. Oh, by the way, what is the name of our killer? Carver. I think the guy's name is Carver. Carver was the name of the guy later. But do we ever find out the guy's name? I don't think so.
I think that. I'll just call Carver.
Carver. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, it's Carver.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia says.
Carver is the name of the serial killer.
And yeah, it's something Street Carver.
Yeah, now he's upgraded to having a police scanner. I think it was a police. It was or a radio hijack thing where he can intercept like phone calls, because he intercepts a phone call between Cheryl and her boyfriend saying, yeah, my folks are going to be gone. And so on one of those nights, he comes by. She's upstairs taking a shower. Boyfriend's hasn't showed up yet. And this dude gives Michael Myers a run for his money. I tell you that, because this dude... This is something I also put. I said, this guy gives Michael a run for his money because he goes upstairs, rifles through her panty drawer. She's showering. Boyfriend comes home. He goes out and hides in the closet and waits. Dude has patience like a fucking, I don't know what, because he stays sitting in the closet for quite a while, enough for them to probably get up to some sex and then go downstairs, eat and watch some TV.
Yeah.
He's just chilling up in the closet. Goes downstairs, takes out the boyfriend, and then kidnaps her. Beats her up first, but then kidnaps her.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, this guy gives Michael a run for his money, because he's strong enough to bludgeon somebody to death with his bare hands. He's quieter than Chucky as he sneaks around. He's adept at dismemberment like Dexter, and he dresses like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
And if you go by what the FBI people say, the dude's a genius. He's a depraved lunatic, and he's a genius.
Yeah, because after this, he switches his M.O. the way he kills.
Yes, now he's... And then, I don't need to go into too much detail about all the tapes with Cheryl, because it's just basically her being tortured, mentally as well as physically. He basically tells her to call him master, says that she's a slave, all that business. Now, I believe he starts switching to prostitutes.
Yeah, he becomes the Water Street Butcher.
Yeah, oh, and also, by the way... The kind of guy he is, he also not only, like, kidnapped Cheryl and she's now presumed dead, but he goes to visit the mother, who doesn't know that it's him.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like a citywide manhunt. And he goes and, like, you know, sadistically, he's like, hey, if you need any help, if there's anything I can do, just let me know. And the mother seems like she got a vibe from him, like, it's him, he's the one who did it.
Yeah.
But doesn't do anything.
She just laughs and runs off.
He laughs and runs off, and then she says later in a thing that I was just too scared to do. I was like, yeah, but you could have told the cops. You could have given them a description.
Yeah.
Because you go by the – because this dude – this is one of the issues I have, is that they're painting the guy out to be this genius. This guy is so unorganized, but he's so organized. He's so sadistic and crazy, but damn it, he's so meticulous. But the dude, when he's on camera – does not exude any kind of, like, couth or any kind of, like, I don't know. Just...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
When he has the camera, he doesn't seem like that he's...
This mastermind. He just seems like some crazy... You know who it feels like? It feels like when he's on screen, it feels like he's Otis from fucking Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. If you gave him a camcorder, this is the kind of stuff that he would film.
Yeah.
Certainly no Hannibal Lecter or Dexter Morgan.
No.
But whatever. So
through his actions, he seems smart.
I'll say this. There's no videos of him being smart, but we hear about it from the FBI people.
Yeah.
Because smart person wouldn't risk getting caught by going to talk to the mom during a nationwide manhunt.
Yeah.
And all right. So now he switches up his modus operandi.
Yeah.
His MO. He's now... impersonating a police officer and going around and picking up prostitutes as well as other people, just under the guise of being a police officer.
And all this is happening in 2000, early 2001.
Early 2001. And at one point, I'll say that this was one of my favorite scenes. Probably my favorite scene. He picks up this British woman. I believe she's British.
Yeah.
And he's in this police garb, and he's like, yeah, hey, you parked off to the side of the road, or you broke down. Hey, look, why don't you let me give you a ride over to the nearest gas station about a mile up the road, and we'll call you a tow truck so you're not sitting out here by yourself. She gets in the car, and just through conversation, him going back and forth with her, you see her slowly start to put the fucking together.
that she really puts together when he's like, so when you saw me, why'd you call me officer?
Oh, I thought police officers like being called officer. Yeah, but I'm not an officer.
Yeah.
She thinks he's playing.
Yeah.
No, but the slow realization of her realizing.
Yeah.
Is probably my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Very, is well acted.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she gets got. We see how she. I'm not going into all the snuff film tapes because they kind of feel like it's torture. He's just basically torturing them. And a lot of it's kind of off screen. Except for one throat slit that we do see. But for the most part, but it's not done badly, the torture scenes. As in, like, you don't see a lot, but it is done well.
Yeah, it's enough to give you that feeling, oof.
It's enough to give you that uncomfortable feeling without having to show it to you. Which I think was in this movie's favor.
Yeah.
So, now, I forget how we get the identification of this police officer. Because... So now he's killed a couple people as this phony police officer, but now they have a suspect. Now, I forget what evidence they got that gave him this suspect.
It's that the police officer is kind of known for cruising with prostitutes.
Okay, so they saw
and
this.
Some of the ones he's killed had the police officer's semen still in them, so they got a DNA match that way.
They got a DNA match that way, and he had no alibi
during the times of the murder. So,
this is what I said. So they found blood inside his car, his semen on some of the victims in some of the victims, and he had no alibi for a couple of the murders as well as some of the murders that happened out of state. So I'm sitting here like, wow, they found their killer. With 30 minutes left of the movie, I wonder if they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Because you see it's 30 minutes left of this movie, and it's like, all right, well, surely they didn't catch the real person.
Yeah.
And nope. Oops. They accidentally... This was the quickest trial I've ever seen. They snatch up this police officer who they assumed was the killer.
Reading in Wikipedia, so all these murders happened in 95, 96 is when he's sentenced to death.
Oh, so while he was in prison for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, well, I guess it's just because the way it's portrayed in the movie. Exactly. Yeah, it didn't say exactly how much time had passed. So, his date of execution, I think, is like, what, September 2nd or something like that?
September 9th, 2001.
2001. He gets put to death. Oops. Like, right afterwards, the police are basically taunted and given a map by the killers.
The next day of other bodies that were killed while he was in jail.
I was like, oops, looks like we killed somebody based on circumstantial evidence. All it wasn't circumstantial. He was innocent. Dude doesn't have an alibi for like 3 murders and like 4-somethings and his semen's and a bunch of prostitutes. He did something. He needed like whatever. He should be investigated for something, but not these murders.
Yeah. FBI agents like, you know, if what September 11th didn't happen, this would have been front page news across the nation. Cause
Carver is the only person in America looks back fondly on 9/11 because he covered up his crimes but it covered up the news the very next day of police raided, of the killings of so many women. And it's like, oh, but it got to page 6 because 9/11 happened.
Yeah. What the FBI? He's the only murderer in history to kill a cop using the justice system.
There was a couple people in this thing that was a little too lighthearted the way they talk about a lot of things. Yeah. Do you remember the guy? I think he was a coroner or something, like talking about the handsaw, the different kind of that the guy used.
Yeah.
He was way too chipper and happy talking about murder. Sorry, that was a random thing. I was just looking at my notes, but I was like, some of these people, the way they talk about him, it was like, man, and the way they talk about the former officer that they just killed, they're like, we'll get him next time. It's like, you just killed a man.
Yeah, you go from that to the officer's son who's like, yeah, people still come up to me and, you know.
Dude, like, dude, I don't think you're having the right reaction for this. Yeah. I'd have been pissed. I'd have been like, F the police. specifically the police that put my dad to death, and F everybody. I'd be wanting, like, I'd be tearing this motherfucker down.
Well, you gotta think, it's like a documentary, so they're filming it years after.
Yeah, I know.
Where dudes probably thoughts of the people, like,
oh, what?
Oh, your dad was a butcher, right? No, he was exonerated.
It's like, well, why didn't we hear about it? Oh, because it was on page 6.
Yeah, he was exonerated September 11th, 2001.
All right, I got my time stuff mixed up, because after that happened, then it was the British woman who died. The British woman died after this, because they reversed engineered her death and then found a house, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They eventually find the house. They find Carver's house. They come in. They find one thing, though. They find Cheryl. Cheryl's still alive. Yeah. After all of these, I don't know how many years it's been, because I think she was like his number 3 or 4th victim. So she's laying in a coffin. That's to say she's worse.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically. Physically, she's malnourished. She's been beaten up. Cigarettes put out on her. Chunks of her skin taken out. She's been bitten a bunch of places. Her teeth removed and genital mutilation.
Yeah.
She has not had a good run. And
she's been in captivity for years.
She's been in captivity for years to the point where she does not know how to live without pain.
Yeah.
So she, like, tortures herself when nobody's, because rejected her to, that became her normal.
Yeah.
Just fucked up. Stuff like that is good, because it's like you hear all that stuff, and then we eventually get an interview with her, and she is Stockholmed.
Yeah.
Like, she is in love with her captor. She says, I know he'll come back for me. She's missing an arm.
Yeah.
She's not good. And then, unsurprisingly, it says 2 weeks later, she took her own life.
Yeah.
And that's just like, so he's still out there.
Yeah.
Is what we're basically, was that was like the final, because we see what she looked like when she was a kid to what she looks like now, and she's been through it.
Yeah. And then after her funeral, he unburies her body.
He
unburies tape in her coffin.
Because he had also been given a reputation of basically having sex with the corpses even after they've died.
Yeah.
So he wait. Apparently nobody sees any of these things happen, and digs up the grave, and to do with her remains, God knows what.
Right. And that is the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
That's the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Yeah.
All right, so let me get into, because I got some breakdowns, and it'll be interesting when we talk about Cloverfield, because they're two so different kinds of found footage that we have here. And I already told you what my favorite scene was, and that was her in the back seat as she slowly realizes that she's being kidnapped. Let me ask you a couple questions real quick. What did you think of this Carver person as a serial killer? Like, in the realm of serial killers that horror has, what did you think of him?
I liked that they didn't go too much into him. Didn't give us much of why or anything like that.
He's just a crazy person who does what he does.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that I was judging this thing. I was like, well, man, they doesn't give him really any motivation of anything. But I'm like, yeah, but then again, sometimes serial killers don't have motivations.
Yeah, they're just doing it to do it, yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm like, man, why are the FBI agents, like, filleting this dude the way they're talking about? I was like, well, what do you think about Ted Bundy tapes? They talk about how much of a genius the guy was. Yeah. I have to tell him, this guy, you don't understand, this guy's a genius. That's why we can't catch
him. Yeah. I say things like that so they don't look as bad for this guy being active for
exactly
a couple decades.
I thought he was overdoing it, wearing like stuff like Phantom of the Opera masks.
Oh, yeah, his Plague Doctor mask.
His Plague Doctor mask. I think that was a little much.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I get it, you're crazy. But, all right, so technicals. Let me break it down here. I said it does feel a little over-edited in some instances for a found footage, and like I told you, some of the filters that they choose on some of the things are a little weird.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there is a good amount of shaky cam, but seeing as how it's found footage, I won't dock it too much for the shaky cam, because it's what you're going to get with found footage.
Yeah.
I said I will give it props for making this movie on a low budget. Technicals, though, if I'm going to compare it to something like either Blair Witch or Hell House, it's a little bit below a 7. I'm going to say a 6.6.
Okay.
When it came... Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
Right there with you with like a 6.8. Not quite up there with Blair Witch or Hell House, but I've seen a lot worse with some found footage movies, you know?
Yeah, and I kept trying to compare it to... like, and believe me, these... sometimes, and I've noticed this, I'll have a score here, and I will change it based as how I'm talking about it, because sometimes I'll realize things as I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
So initially it was a 6.4, but as I was talking about it, I was like, it needs a couple of points before above that, because it's not as good as something, but not as bad as something else. So I think a 6.6 is right there for me.
Yeah. Now on to the story of this movie.
On to the story. I said before that this feels like found footage tape from Otis from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And then this is the battle that I'm having in my mind. As I said, there's no real story other than look at this killer being crazy, but it does have the same feel of a sensationalized true crime special.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're going for.
Which is what I think they're going for. So as a story, I think it told the story at a 6.8 good level.
Okay.
And for you?
Story? Like I said, it does feel like a sensational true crime thing.
That's where it works best.
Yeah. And I'm like comparing it to other found footage stories. And I'm going to have to give it a 7.2.
Okay. And enjoyment, I can't bring myself to give it a 7, but I gave it a 6.9. I said, nitpicks aside, it is an okay found footage movie, and it's perfect at an hour and 20 minutes. It's also based in reality, which I find way scarier than creatures.
Yeah.
Stuff that's based in reality. And there are instances where the subject matter is scary, so they don't show too much. Yeah. Which is good, like I said, because it involves kids, necrophilia, and torture. So you don't need to necessarily show too much. I'm happy with a 6.9. It's very close to being a 7.
Yeah. So enjoyment. It is a mockumentary just like Mungo.
Yes.
But I feel like it has stuff going on throughout the entire runtime that keeps you into it, gets you hooked early, and keeps you going throughout the movie.
Although I will say that... this is very hard to degrade. Like I said, just found footage in general.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've given any real found footage super duper duper high. I mean, I like Hell House, but I don't know if I ever gave it like an 8 or 9. I don't know.
Yeah, I went 7.2.
That's fair. I mean, I said 6. That's only off by 0.3 points. So, like I said, these are getting very close in terms of us grading. But I would recommend the Poughkeepsie tapes, though. It was a good... I just have to be, it's just hard when you have to be kind of harsh in your critiques. But I did enjoy it. So
yeah, it's definitely a movie. This is probably my third time watching it.
And I can understand why you like it more than Lake Mungo.
Yeah.
Although I think Lake Mungo definitely felt a lot more like a, something that they would put on TV.
Yeah.
Cause Lake Mungo, I think you would
Lake
have to
Mungo
clean it
would
up.
Probably be on, NBC while,
yes.
Tapes would be something on like Showtime or HBO.
Yeah, because you have to clean it up for audiences.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was the Poughkeepsie tapes.
Poughkeepsie tapes. So you gave your score totaled a 20.3.
Okay.
Mine was a 21.2. So the average score is 20.75.
Okay.
That's fair.
That's a fair scoring, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're moving on to something with a slightly bigger budget.
Yeah. $5 million.
By $25 million, specifically.
Yeah. On to Cloverfield.
This one I just pulled out of my ass just because I was trying to think of the found footage movies, and I was like, well, we can't do the obvious ones.
So this is a found footage where most of it is filmed from a camcorder, and it starts out as a group of people are recording a party, a going-away party for... Rob's filming it for his brother Jason's going away party. He's supposed to go to Japan on Monday.
Is Jason going away? I thought it was Rob's going away.
Yeah, you're right.
Jason's Rob's brother, and his brother's going away to Japan for work.
Yeah.
And they have old TJ Miller, Rob's best friend, Hud.
He's the one who has... Hud has a camera most of the night.
I forgot that TJ Miller was even in this. Yeah, I didn't know he was the main guy.
This does have a... pretty decent cast.
I always love seeing Lizzie Kaplan in things.
See, I love Odette Annibal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she plays Beth in this one.
Yeah, I have a thing for Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, so they're basically filming all the things for Rob.
Yeah, see you guys, like, testimonials. Hope you have fun in Japan.
Have fun in Japan, you're gonna do great. And then Rob and Beth kind of have an argument where she leaves. when it comes out, Rob and Beth slept together a couple weeks before this party.
Which, at this point, and she had brought like another guy to this party. They had like slept together once, and then he like didn't call her back the night after, and
because he was leaving for Tokyo, and then she brings a guy to his going away party.
Which I can understand her being upset, but don't bring the guy to the guy's going away party. I mean,
that's kind of messed up. But yeah, so during this party, you get a big explosion. This is produced by J.J. Abrams, by the way.
So yeah, it'll be action packed.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, what's that? Let's go to the roof. Another big explosion. They're like, let's get off the roof as debris.
Yeah, let's get off the roof.
yeah. So they vacate and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Rob's trying to call Beth, and then he hears like a voicemail from her that she's trapped in her apartment and can't move. So he's like, I gotta go to her. And they're like, let's not.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, Dave.
Yeah.
Are you making that trip? Are you making a trip for the one night stand girl who brought a dude to your to your going away party?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more than that because they're supposedly like best friends since they're kids, grew up together and whatnot, but I don't think I'm making that trek.
I know that I wouldn't survive the trek.
Yeah. I know, end of the world situation, it's kind of do what you can to survive and keep the people around you alive.
It's like it would be like, I don't know, like the equivalent distance, but I mean, she's on the opposite side of town of New York City.
I think they're in like Manhattan. Her apartment's in Midtown. I don't know the exact distance, but they gotta do that trek.
Yes, they have a trek.
But like before that happens, they try to cross a bridge that collapses, and
sorry, Jason.
Jason's dead. He dies pretty quick in this movie.
This also came out in 2007, I want to say.
2008.
Quality on this handheld camera is amazing.
Yeah, for 2008. The durability of this camera.
If they didn't have a like battery or a camera company like sponsoring them, they should, because that would have been amazing as like...
Yeah, because the battery life on this camera is great. Lasts all night.
Oh, yeah, and you like get an entire building fall on it, and it'll be... It's like it built like an old Nokia phone.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So Jason dies, and then... They're like, Rob, we gotta go, let's go. And he's like, no, I'm going to Midtown. They're like, you can't. He's like, I am. And they're like, fine, we're gonna go with you.
Whatever. Okay, right. Maybe they're just of that, you know what, we saw this big giant. By the way, they've seen this big gigantic monster.
Freaking tearing through New York.
Tearing through New York. They must be thinking, we're gonna die anyway. We might as well go down in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. And they also seen, like, little creatures hopping off the big creatures running around on the ground and attacking
him. Yeah, like the mist.
Yeah. So it's like one of the best ways to go is
through the subway.
Yeah. Go underground. Not like everything's collapsing, but yeah.
By the way, as you watch this, two things to point out. The camera keeps
cutting back to a recording. They're recording over like the day that Beth and Rob slept together.
Yeah, they had like a whole day.
Yeah.
They had like a big date night over at Coney Island, and they're recording over this tape essentially.
Yeah.
And that, and I will say, despite the shaky cam, you do see the $25 million on screen.
Yeah, they use all that $25 million.
I think the most famous promotion during the time when it came out was just the severed head of the Statue of Liberty, just like in the street.
Yeah, while in the street, the severed head of the Statue of Liberty just comes bouncing by him. Kind of looks small.
I thought the same thing.
I thought the head of the Statue of Liberty would be like a couple stories tall.
Yeah, when it landed in front of him, I was like, huh, thought it would have been bigger than this. But, I mean, I guess they needed it to land in front of him.
Yeah. Like, I thought, you know, it'd be pretty big. Whatever.
I know. Big enough that people would take pictures standing inside of it.
Yeah. Doesn't look like anyone could go inside.
It's about the size of a school bus, it looks like.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, so while they're in the subway, they get attacked by the smaller creatures, and Lizzie Kaplan gets bit.
They get my girl Cat Lizzie.
But they find the door and escape, or they're saved by the military.
Oh, thank God the military's here.
Yeah, and then Lizzie Kaplan starts bleeding from the eyes, and they take her away. Yeah. And then Rob's like, let's go. But what about her? Forget her. Let's go.
Forget her, and then you see her silhouette, and yeah, it really is forget her.
Yeah.
She explodes.
Yeah. So they make their way to Midtown. They get there.
You know, the messed up thing about that whole thing is that she didn't even want to be at that party in the first place.
Right. She didn't even really know Ralph. She's like, I've met him twice.
She's been having TJ Miller trying to get in her pants all night.
Yeah. And she's there because she's friends with Lily, who was Jason's girlfriend.
And she's only met the guy, Rob, the guy who the party's for, like two or three times.
Yeah.
In passing.
But to be fair, almost anywhere she was at that night, she would have probably died.
Yeah, but she probably wouldn't have been in the subway. She wouldn't have gotten exploded from the inside out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either between that or getting crushed by the kaiju foot. I'd take the kaiju foot.
Yeah. So the military's like, hey, if you're going to go do this at 6 a.m., we're bombing the city.
Just so you know.
Yeah, so there's going to be helicopters at this location right before they get there. And so they get to Beth's building, which is leaning onto another building.
Like, if I even saw that, I'd be like, all right, well, they're obviously dead. It's like, so time to get to safety.
And then Hyde makes it like a target. He's like, yeah, we can go to the building that's still standing and make our way to the roof of her building. Rob's like, that's a great idea. Hyde's like, no, it's not. So they do that.
I mean, I get why Hud's following him because he's Rob's best friend. Who was the other girl that was following him?
Lily.
Rob's
brother's girlfriend.
Jason's girlfriend.
Yeah, Jason's dead. So she kind of just has no one. So she's just kind
of. All right. So I understand why she. Okay, I was just trying to
him, yeah.
I was just trying to remember why all of them. There, obviously, Hud's that's his best friend, and she's pretty much stranded. She doesn't have anybody else to.
Yeah.
Go with. Which kind of blows, which means that Rob's sitting here making group decisions, knowing they're going to follow him. And it's like, dude, come on, man. You're just. The most important person, Lizzie Kaplan's already dead. Come on, man. We don't need to go any further than this.
Yeah, so they make their way into Beth's building, like basically have to climb up the roof of her building that's leaning.
That'll be fine.
Yeah. Make their way down to her apartment, see her laying there. With a piece of rebar sticking through her. I'm like, oh, she's dead. Oh, no, she's still alive.
I'm still alive. Nah, she's dead. We gotta move on.
Yeah, so they grab her, which I don't know how this doesn't kill her, because as soon as you remove that rebar, she's gonna bleed out.
Yeah, isn't that like rule one? That's like the first rule they teach you. If you got something stuck, do not take it out, or else the blood will start flowing.
Yeah. But they do. It's a movie, whatever.
It's movie magic. It's movie.
I can live whatever.
It's movie medicine.
Yeah. So they take her and, you know, they're making their way. They're almost to the helicopters. They have one more encounter with the alien where Hud almost dies.
He manages to snake away.
Yeah. And then Lily gets into the first helicopter. Thank God she gets out of there.
She's had a night.
She deserves to live.
Yes, she, her boyfriend's dead. She's been a ride or die, like friend, like she's been following him around. She's off.
She deserves to get safety. Yeah. Then Hud, Rob, and Beth get into a second helicopter.
It's because those three deserve to live. I'm glad that they get to live.
And then they get swatted down by an alien, but they survive the helicopter crash.
God, of all the times you wish you didn't survive a crash.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to just say in addition, it's like, oh, yeah, you said her name's Lily?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, she deserves to live, even if she can't keep a secret for shit.
No.
She's the one who basically told everybody, she told Hud because he kept pestering her.
Jason, her boyfriend, which...
Well, Hud was there, too. And
Jason went and told Hud, who then told the entire party.
Oh, because he then gave the camera to Hud to do that. Yeah, so she's the one who's basically spilled the beans that Beth and Rob slept together, and now the whole party knew at the very beginning. But whatever, she's not a horrible person. She
told her boyfriend, which I get. If you're in a relationship, you tell each other secrets.
Yeah, Hud was there, but he was told to turn the camera off, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And so once Hud found out, Hud basically blabbed it to everybody.
So all three of them survive the helicopter crash. Hud then gets eaten by the alien.
Meanwhile, Lily's just watching from the other helicopter.
Yeah. And then Rob grabs the camera. Rob and Beth go hide underneath the bridge. They're like, if you see this, then we're dead. You know.
And they give a testimonial.
Yeah. The hammer down protocol begins, and they start bombing the city. And this bridge they're hiding under collapses on them. That is the end of the movie.
Didn't destroy the camera, though.
No, the camera's still going.
Camera is still going.
Great.
Enough to give us a last little snippet footage of them, the last little bit of time of their date.
Yeah.
Thing. So that's Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
When was the last time, or you'd seen this before?
I haven't seen it since. Oof.
Probably haven't seen it since it came out.
I want to say it was probably like 2012, 2013. Because I didn't see it when it came out. I watched it on like HBO one night.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't see it in theaters, but I saw it close to around the time it came out. I would have been in high school, so I probably saw it around like 2009-ish. I would have thought.
Yeah, I know. I was already in the military when the first time I seen it. So.
All right. So yeah, why don't you go break us down, man?
Technicals. It's so tough.
You can't deny that technically it's filmed better in terms of like quality.
Yeah, it better be with $25 million going into it. And that's what makes it hard. It's like
I just gave it a flat 7.0. Because when it comes to technicals, and it being shaky cam, I don't tend to rate technicals super high on found footage.
Yeah.
So I think, but it is there, and you can't deny it's better than the technical on a technical level. So I just said a base 7 for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I have to give it a 7. Yeah, technically it is better, but also something you said earlier.
Hmm.
I think this movie would have been better if it wasn't found footage.
I did put that as one of my mentions, is that if I'm going to grade this, could the story have been told better? Not as a found footage. I don't know if it could be told better, but it could have been told as a different other than what it was. Poughkeepsie Tapes, I think, works best as the found footage that as it is.
Yeah.
This one did have different options, but of the story from the technical that was told,
yeah,
7.
7, yeah.
Because that was more for story.
Yeah, story.
What I put, I said comparing these two, when comparing these two, the story of what happened on the tapes, Cloverfield works as a found footage, but could have been told in a different format.
Yeah.
The characters are more fleshed out in this one, but where it falls apart is some of the motivation. I mean, well, no, not really, but then because then we started talking about their motivation.
Yeah. It's, for me, it's like a found footage. The story is like, it's not really all that original. It's an alien invasion story.
I mean, you can say the same thing about Poughkeepsie Tapes. It's just another serial killer story.
And then the lead character in this one constantly does the dumbest shit, putting his friends in danger.
I will say that I sympathized more with Lily and Marlene. What was Lizzie? Whatever Lizzie Kaplan's character.
Yeah, I think Marlena.
I sympathized with them more than I did the main character. Or TJ Miller.
Yeah.
Comparing the two stories is hard just because I'd still know the story and I can still tell what's going on.
Yeah. I'm probably going to give it a 6.6.
Okay. If I gave Poughkeepsie Tapes a 6.6, I have to give this one at least like a 6.6 or 6.7 because Poughkeepsie Tapes, the story, they're both stories that I can tell what's going on. Yeah. If I gave Poughkeepsie Tapes a 6.6, I got to give this a 6.6 as well.
Okay.
Because I can tell what's going on in both of these stories. And for their individual medium, one's a mockumentary, one's found footage, I think they both tell the story at about the same adequate what they were going for.
Yeah.
So both of them get 6.6s to me.
Okay. And now enjoyment.
Do you want me to go first or second on it?
I can go first.
All right.
It's a fairly enjoyable movie. I could see myself rewatching it. I'm going to go 6.8.
That was actually my score, too, 6.8. I still like Poughkeepsie Tapes a little bit more, though. I think I prefer the mockumentary format more.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, what I really want would be a mockumentary format on the Cloverfield incident.
Yeah.
Do the Poughkeepsie format.
What happened on New York City that night.
About what happened on New Year's night, and you can have, like, from different camera things. You can keep the story... Keep the story and the budget, but with the Poughkeepsie Tapes aesthetic.
Yeah.
Then I think you would have had a real winner, like, just for my personal taste.
Yeah.
A mockumentary about the Cloverfield incident would have been cool. Because I was bouncing between both of these, like, oh my god, like, they're so, like, I'm trying to be fair to both of these, but I'd say that Poughkeepsie Tapes had me a little bit more wanting to know what happens next over Cloverfield. Though visually, Cloverfield was much better.
Yeah. All right.
What is our grand total?
Total score for Cloverfield is 20.6, and mine was 20.3, for an average of 20.6. 20.45.
And what was that against?
Poughkeepsie Tapes 20.75.
Oh, you snaked it.
Barely edging it out.
You snaked it by like 0.12 points or something.
0.3 points.
Like, as I was watching it, because it was hard when because I watched Cloverfield twice, or the second time, it was the second one I watched.
Yeah.
And while the nitpicks I did have with the Poughkeepsie, I just think that I like that format better.
Yeah.
I think if
I'm watching a found footage movie, I don't want it to be action-packed, if that makes sense. Like, if I want an action-packed movie, I want it to be, like, an actual, like, movie.
That's...
Give me aliens destroying buildings all day, but just don't do a found footage format for it.
I think that's the reason why maybe I tended to shy away from movies like Quarantine, because it's action, but it is all just, like... I don't like the whole movie just being first person. I like the Poughkeepsie Tapes and movies like Hell House, because it'll do that, but then it'll also give you a break from that.
Yeah.
And you don't get the whole thing. I like piecing together what happened.
Right? Yeah.
You just see this thing, it's like, oh man, the gruesome stuff of this, and people still don't know. You get that mystery, and then you get to kind of piece it together as you're watching.
Yeah.
So I think this just is a thing of me liking mockumentaries better.
Have you ever watched the found footage documentary on Shudder?
It's called Found Footage? Oh, no, it's a found footage documentary?
Yeah, it's like Found Footage 101 or something like that. It's on Shudder. It's actually really good.
I'll check it out as soon as we're done talking.
Yeah, it's really good. But in one of the scenes, one of the directors talked about, like, found footage movies. He's like, the basic of what you need is, why are they recording? What's going on? And why are they still recording with everything going on?
Yeah, and both of these, and in Cloverfield...
I feel like it doesn't, you know, align with Poughkeepsie Tapes as much, because it's more of like a mockumentary showing clips of what a killer would record.
Because in with the Poughkeepsie Tapes, I could forgive it, because it's like, oh, why is it all shaking? Well, because they weren't meant to be seen.
Yeah.
They're
private collection tapes, yeah.
This was only going to be seen by the guy who filmed it, so that's the reason why he's shaking so much, because that's not his number one priority.
And shaking cam in Cloverfield, I get to, because you're recording and everything's blown up around you. It's going to be shaky a little bit, but at the same time, eventually you put that camera down and go.
I kept saying to myself, like, dude, why is TJ Miller, like, still filming right now? Like, I get it, and they do that in every found footage movie, but, like, I don't know.
Someone would want to document this. I'm like, yeah, but...
In the Diary of the Dead, the actual character says out loud, at least, I need to film this so the people will know. And the whole movie was satire about how we, like, film violence and how we use the camera as, like, a shield between us and there was a reason why he was filming.
But in Cloverfield, like, even when Marlena's getting attacked, he doesn't put the camera down. He just films it. Like, what are you doing, man? Help her out.
That's another reason why I didn't put the story in the sevens.
Yeah.
Because I do take that kind of stuff into account, which... Yeah. It's just, you know, if I'm just grading all found footages equally, I mean, Blair Witch does it too, so. But you snaked it, and I'm not upset about it. As I was watching the Poughkeepsie test, I was like, yeah, I think this is kind of my wheelhouse when it comes to found footage. So I was like, I'm not upset to lose it from... I'm sure a lot of people would probably be like, really, you chose Poughkeepsie Tapes over Cloverfield? I was like, yeah, but I can watch both of them on any given day.
It's niche.
I can watch them both on any...
people that watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's like, and really, I doubtful that anybody would really be upset about it anyway. Just because it's just like, then, you know, if you feel different, that's cool.
It's not like Cloverfield's, like, beloved by many, and everyone's like, yeah, it's okay.
It's not like I said Scream is dog shit or something like that. Wow, all right, so... I'm at least, you know, I would have been happy even if you won 4-1. I just didn't want it to be a complete wipeout.
A lot of close episodes, which is good. And I want to thank you all for listening.
I guess we don't have enough time to read some of the negative reviews. Oh. Or do you want to do that for our actual just review days?
Yeah, we haven't done that for our first. Yeah.
Do you already have an idea in mind of what you are going to be doing next season about?
Oh, yeah, I already know. I was just going to let you know after we finish up here.
After we finish this. Oh, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to shut the fuck up now and let you take us out.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. Have a good week, everybody.
See ya. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.